You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc, and welcome to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And after 34 episodes talking all about everything that is related to homeopathy and touching on and mentioning homeopathy again and again, we are finally ready to dive into the specifics of homeopathy, which will not be the only thing we talk about from here on out, but I think is really great to have a good foundation for all the things that we've already talked about a little bit and everything that we're going to be talking about moving forward from here. So Jody, it's probably going to be me talking a lot in the next couple of episodes, but I'm going to lean on you to do what you do best, which is to like read the moms' minds who are listening to this, who might be newer to it, or anybody else who might be listening to this as a suggestion from somebody who is a regular listener to our podcast or who is wanting to learn more about homeopathy in general. So help slow me down when you need to, and help help me clarify things if I get a little bit too geeky or wonky. Okay. Yeah.
Definitely. I have to say first, I'm so excited that this particular information is going to be out there. This is like all of the stuff I wish I would have known from the beginning. And I want to say like right up front that you are going to talk about stuff that viewers aren't necessarily going to understand, but it's still really, really good stuff. Had I heard all of this in the beginning, I'm not sure I would have understood it. Yeah. It would have taken me a little ways, but even if there's stuff that you don't understand, keep listening because it's so valuable. And I think the next couple of episodes are going to be good episodes. As you're gaining more understanding going through homeopathy, they'll likely be good to come back and revisit them as we go. So it's all good stuff. And you learn in little bits as you go. So,
yeah. So we're going to do our best to keep these still on the shorter side, just with the interest of understanding the life that you're living. And even if you don't have a Pans or Pandas kiddo, I don't love pulling up a podcast that's forever long. So we're going to keep them in as shortest chunks as we possibly can. But that also means that it's going to be a little while until as we're trying to explain everything. And keep in mind, homeopathy is something that is a hundreds of years old science and practice that has a lot of information behind it. So many things that we could discuss, from what it is, how it works, new research on it, ways that people manage cases using homeopathy, what to expect, all of these various different things. And so we're probably going to be talking about it for a while, and we're not going to get into all of the nitty gritty right here today. So I hope that you'll come back and join us for our next several episodes to give you a little bit more information to expand on that. It's also one of those things that, Jody, I mean, basically you said you probably wouldn't have understood everything right up front had you had access to all of this when we first met and you started working with homeopathy. I bring this up because it's something that like you are still learning. Like, you have been using homeopathy for your family for 8 years now. Mm-hmm. And you are still learning on a regular basis. We're having regular conversations in our Facebook group with videos that we do and things like that to support the community. And you routinely, at least once a month, say, "Oh my gosh, I finally understand this now." Or like, "You've been saying this so long and I finally get it." So if something seems like it's going over your head, we would love to hear from you to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to make this as accessible and understandable to people as possible. And hang tight, because there is a good chance that something we'll share in another episode will give you a little bit more and like deeper understanding and more nuanced understanding of things. So, and like, this is something that people study for years and years and years. Like, homeopaths are still studying decades later. Like, the day before they retire, they're still studying homeopathy. And so it's something that just, it's got so much depth and so much nuance. And every time you reread one of the materials from the people who are like the founder of homeopathy, you get more from it. And like, your practice informs what you're learning, and what you learn informs your practice, and back and forth. So, With no further ado, let's just go ahead and dive in with what homeopathy is. So, as I said, homeopathy is over 200 years ago that it was first discovered. It was discovered by Samuel Hahnemann, who was a German physician practicing during the time when people were using things like arsenic, mercury, bloodletting, et cetera, to treat people. He recognized that his treatments that he was offering weren't actually helping people get better, and in many cases made them sicker, made them worse. And so he decided to shut down his practice, basically saying, like, you'd be better off without me, and went to work using his vast language skills. He was actually spoke several different languages and was a chemist. So using all of these things to earn a living for his family by translating medical texts. He translated a text that was a Materia Medica, which is basically a listing of how homeopathic medicines can be, or not homeopathic, how any medicine, how any plant, any substance can be used medicinally. And so he read, was translating this text on a substance called cinchona bark, so an herbal medicine, and it was used regularly for treating malaria. And the person who wrote it suggested that the reason it was really effective in treating malaria was because of the bitter properties of the herb. Having been being a chemist and reading a lot of different materials, he recognized that there were a lot of things that were actually far more bitter than the cinchona bark was. And he decided to just go ahead and test it on himself and see what happened. And when he tested it on himself, he just took some of the tincture. He found that he had very similar symptoms to what he had experienced when he had had malaria previously. And that set up a light bulb in his brain, because he had previously translated a text that's attributed to Hippocrates that had the concept of like cures like. And so that experience where he took cinchona bark, which was very effective for treating malaria, and experienced symptoms very similar to malaria having taken it, really fit that principle of like cures like. So something that can cause something in a healthy person being used to treat those similar symptoms in somebody who is in an unhealthy state. And that's where homeopathic, the word homeopathic comes from, is like cures like, or similar. Similar suffering is what it actually translates to. And so Samuel Hahnemann, being a chemist and an experimenter, a scientist at heart, started studying what would happen with lots of different substances that were somewhat effective in treating disease, and found this principle to hold true again and again and again. And so he took that information that he'd gathered in what was later to be called provings, or like testings. The German is Prüfung. And so they call it provings now, where we're testing to see what symptoms are provoked in a healthy person when they take a substance that then can be used to treat that those similar symptoms in an unhealthy state. So he took all that information and went back to practice and started helping people, and finding that this really held true, not just in the symptoms, what they provoked, that when he would find similar symptoms in an unhealthy state, that the remedies that he called the medicines were able to cure those symptoms in that unhealthy state. So that's really where homeopathy comes from, is the like cures like. Are you following me right now, Jody?
I'm following you. I would have loved to have been in his lab. Wouldn't that be awesome? You?
I would not have.
Let's try this. Let's try that. And it all makes sense now that he's got it all figured out. I just think that that's amazing how his brain just went do-do-do-do-do, and how it all worked out. Super cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, ultimately, there's some people who will say that homeopathy is unscientific, and we'll get to the why in just a minute. But like, this just shows you, like, from the very beginning, it was somebody who was making an observation from the clinical experience that they had and the background and understanding of chemistry, and put those observations together, and then had a hypothesis, did an experiment, found the results from the experiment, and then did it on repeat. And so, like, this is the scientific method, the application of one thing, one change, what happens as a result of this one single change. So one of the things where the non-scientific, or people who have concerns with the scientific value behind homeopathy, is because homeopathy uses ultra dilute preparations of these substances. And this is something that, thankfully, we've got a lot more evidence and the technology that's made it so that we can really understand what is in homeopathic medicines. But before this, this is like all relatively new. It's within the last a little over a decade that this information has been available. And I don't know if you know this, Jody, but medical science is always at least 20 years behind research, everything, at least 20 years behind. So we're still in that lag period where not even all homeopaths know about this information. So the biggest issue, the biggest hangup for people, and the biggest hangup for me when I first started naturopathic medical school, was they're diluted so much that they go beyond Avogadro's number, which basically, until we had a better understanding of the smaller size of particles that are produced through lots of different things in life, we thought that it meant there was nothing left. So it was so dilute that it was nothing that was left and it was just water. And so we were basically giving people who were really sick water filled with hopes and dreams and like that we were hoping that it was going to do something. And so that made no sense to me as somebody who has a background in physiology and neurobiology, almost quit naturopathic medical school. So grateful I didn't. I talk about my experience in a previous episode. I believe it's episode, let me find it for you. Episode number 12, where I talk about having found homeopathy and I tell a little bit more about my story. So feel free to check those out if you want to get a little bit more insight into me. That problem with homeopathy being so dilute is a sticking point for some people. We have found through lots of experimentation, multiple different researchers have found that there are nanoparticles that are formed in the dilution process. So there are substances still present in the homeopathic medicines. They're just in nanoparticles. So we can now say that homeopathy was the original nanomedicine. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I want to tell you a little bit about why we went to the dilute stuff in the first place. So when Samuel Hahnemann was studying these different medicines, he was using really toxic things, you know, like belladonna that could kill people if you take too much of it. Mercury, we know, is not great for people. Arsenic. So he's using like toxic metals, poisonous plants, all these different things that could be really harmful to somebody. And he's testing them on healthy people so that we can see what symptoms they provoke. And so he wanted to, you know, not harm the people because, you know, physicians, first thing is first do no harm, no matter what type of physician you are, first do no harm. So he started diluting them and he found that they were effective at still provoking a response in people. And he also found that they tended to be able to provoke a healing response. Once he started getting into clinical practice, they were able to provoke a healing response without so much of like the initial shove. And so, we'll talk about this in just a minute, and we'll probably talk about it in plenty of episodes, right? So essentially what I'm talking about right now is an aggravation, a therapeutic aggravation. And so basically the dilution came about from a point of safety, and then it was sort of like, oh crap, how are we going to like deal with the fact that like these really, really dilute things that don't make sense are actually more effective? Are people going to believe us? And so the good news is that we see now that there are nanoparticles that are formed. I had to accept, even before the nanoparticles were formed, because I came to homeopathy before this research was done, that I didn't understand exactly how it worked, and just trust that hopefully before I retired that we would understand more about how it worked. So I'm going to give you a couple, but well, I guess I'm going to pause and just make sure there's nothing, because I'm going kind of fast and I talk about this stuff all the time and I'm getting all excited. So is there anything that I need to pause and explain a little bit more before I talk a little bit more about how homeopathy works?
No, I think you're in a good rhythm. Keep going. Okay. Cause thus far it seems simple enough. Keep okay. going. Cause it'll get
interrupt me if you need to. Okay. So with homeopathy, what we're doing is, again, we're using the principle of like cures like. So essentially what we're doing is we're trying to provoke a similar action. So like the medicines have a similar action to something that somebody is currently experiencing. And so what we're trying to do is not to just give them this, you know, more of what they already have. We're trying to provoke the body to push back with its healing response, which is opposite in reaction to what the primary action of the substance is. So the provings are all finding out what the primary action of something is, and we then use it to try and nudge the body so the body does its own response to it and gets the secondary healing response, which is the opposite of what we're seeing in the primary action. Does that make sense, Jody?
Yep.
And so basically, like if you think about it, if every single thing that we take into our bodies has an action on our body. So let's think on the point of like coffee. Coffee is always the example that I use. So the primary action of coffee is stimulating. So when we drink a bunch of coffee, we might be a little hyperactive. We might be super focused. We might be really restless. We might have insomnia. We might get a little bit irritable and angry. But then give us a couple of hours and we tend to have a crash, and it's like the caffeine crash, right? But it's usually that we then, after the caffeine crash, we feel more tired, more sluggish than we felt before having the caffeine in the first place, right? That's the body's secondary response, pushing back against the presence of the caffeine, because it's saying, wait, 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 this wasn't supposed to be here. I need to push back against it. And so what we're trying to do with homeopathy is provoke that secondary response. So if somebody is on their own, not having taken caffeine, if they are hyperactive, super focused on something, maybe talking really fast, can't sleep, you know, have really bad insomnia, we might give them a homeopathic dose of coffee in order to nudge the body with that primary action, so that the body itself will push back with the secondary opposite response and calm down. So that primary action sometimes can cause a little bit of a worsening of the symptoms, because we're basically, if somebody's so sensitive to the substance that we're being given, it almost adds to the existing symptoms that they have. So it makes things, it's like they have your existing symptoms plus a little bit more from the homeopathic medicine. So it's stacking up, and then that happens right before the body's able to push back. So sometimes we will see this aggravation of symptoms, or a therapeutic aggravation that is the body responding to the primary action of the medicine before the body has its own healing response. Because we're just provoking the body to do something on its own against the medicine, it's really the body that's healing itself. We're just giving it the nudge for the body to do the thing that it needs to do to correct whatever is going on. That's how we understand homeopathy to work. And that's how Samuel Hahnemann described homeopathy working hundreds of years ago. We have since learned that we have these nanoparticles that are present of the original substance. And it's been shown that there are nanoparticles that bind at the cellular level, and then they lead to cellular adaptive change. So we can see this on like scanning electron microscopes, that there are changes that come into the cells because of that binding and that taking in of those nanoparticles that are found in homeopathic medicines. The thing that we don't still understand is exactly what happens once it's in the cell and why it leads to such broad reaching changes. So with homeopathic medicines, we are working on helping people recover as a whole person. In the next episode, we'll talk a little bit more about how a remedy is chosen. But the point of homeopathy is that it's to help stimulate healing as a whole, and that everything you're experiencing is connected, that what's going on, like your headaches are connected to your gut stuff, or connected to your mood, connected to your tics, connected to the inflammation, connected to the urinary symptoms. All of the things are connected, and they're all related to an untuned vital force. And that's really where that cellular adaptive change comes in, but we don't know how that leads to this broad reaching difference that we see with broad improvements. I'm going to pause. What do you got?
I just think the explanation, even still 8 years of experience, the explanation is still a little bit difficult for me. I think that so many of us moms, that like the only reason we understand this is because we've seen it. Like, this is what you just explained. I understand it because I've seen Avery's body do it. Like, I've seen us not do anything but change. Homeopathy was the only change we made. And I've seen her go through having a response. I've seen that aggravation. And I also understand that less is best, because as she healed and we started dosing less frequently, in between, I could see that her body was doing the work. It was healing, and it just needed occasional doses to make it happen. So again, I just want to reiterate, if you didn't understand that, it's okay that you don't understand it, because your provider does understand it, and you'll learn it as you go. But I think that so many of us that get it, like any homeopathy veteran listening to this will be like, still don't get that. Only reason I understand is because I've actually seen my child's body do it.
And the good news is, you don't have to understand how homeopathy works. You just have to understand how to apply it to be effective. So there were people who have been using homeopathy and understanding to some degree. I mean, Hahnemann's writings are complex and complicated, and you know, it took me, I didn't even understand it when I was first starting to practice. I didn't understand that particular concept and exactly how that worked. And so I will still lecture to people, and there are people who have been practicing homeopathy for a long time that like, that still it's like, oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense now, finally, how that, yeah, that works. So it's not vital that people understand how it works to understand how to apply it and for it to be effective. So I just know, especially since, you know, the community that we serve, our PANS and PANDAS parents, they're some of the most well-informed and educated parents when it comes especially to anything that would relate to health and healing for their children. So I just want to give as much detailed information as I can, but also as simply as I can. All right. So that's the sort of the way that homeopathy works in the body. I feel like I should say really quickly before we move on to the concept of like the totality of symptoms and everything like that, and the improvements that people tend to see. Aggravations are something that can be a sticking point for people when they are considering starting homeopathy. And it's talked about a lot in the PANS and PANDAS community. Not because it's frequent, because it's actually not, but it's because that's when people need the most support, right? So mm-hmm. aggravations are a possibility where you see that short-term worsening because you're getting a little bit of the primary action of the homeopathic medicine before you get that secondary healing response. So some people will experience it, but most people won't. We found that in the PANS community, it's about 30% that experience it. And that's more than the average population because these are people who tend to be just more sensitive in general, right? These are just really sensitive kids. Ideally what we'll see happen is that using the minimum effective dose, which is another principle of homeopathy, the minimum effective dose, that we see a little to no aggravations and only that secondary healing response. And so that's really where the dilution becomes so effective. You could use something full strength. Like you could give every kid who needs belladonna a full drop of a belladonna. Like you couldn't give much because you don't want to kill them, but you could give an undiluted version of the belladonna. You'd probably just get a really bad aggravation first because you're doing a much bigger biochemical force on the body than when you're using simply nanoparticles to just give that mild, gentle nudge. And in fact, another example that I will give when I'm lecturing to like especially functional medicine professionals about homeopathy is that, you know, we use a lot of medications in homeopathic forms, including like all the ADHD medications. Those are all used homeopathically. They're all stimulants being given to somebody who is like hyper and like really overstimulated. And then when given to somebody who doesn't have ADHD, just makes them more hyper. But you give them to somebody who has ADHD, it helps calm them down and slow their brain and focus their brain more instead of being scattered and hyper and, you know, super alert. So that is a homeopathic use of a medicine because it's not about the dilution for homeopathy. This is really, really vital for people to hear. It's not about the dilution that makes something homeopathic. It's how it's prescribed. So it's if it's prescribed in that like versus like, or like cures like, not like versus, but like cures like principle, that is what makes it homeopathic. So it's not the same. So maybe that's what we should touch on next is like isopathy is not homeopathy. So giving a dilute form of strep to a kid who has PANDAS is not homeopathy because strep can cause lots of different symptoms. It has to have been studied and shown that it's causing the symptoms that your child is experiencing or similar to the symptoms that your child is experiencing. So it's not using the same thing. It's not like when we use something like low dose immunotherapy or low dose antigen therapy. Those are also dilute and prepared in the similar way to homeopathic medicines. They're just not prescribed and that like cures like that similar. It's using the same instead of something similar. And it just doesn't seem to work and create that same healing response that we see with homeopathy. That said, for some people, it's very effective for helping with like allergies and things like that. So I'm not shooting it down or anything like that. It just works a little bit different principle. So I'll make sure that that's really clear. Homeopathy also doesn't mean anything that's just natural. So all of the substances that we use in homeopathy are made from single substances found in nature, where you're going to use one medicine that has the best evidence for treating, for both causing and then clinically verifying that it's treating those specific symptoms. So we're using both sides, right? We're using what it causes in somebody and then what we've seen on repeat that it's clinically verified to cure. So they're made from those single substances found in nature. And we use one at a time with classical homeopathy, which is what we're talking about. So not using like combination products. Those can be, those are homeopathic, and they're usually put into the formulation with the principles of homeopathy in mind. However, they don't tend to work in a curative way. They'll work in a palliative way. They can be fine when you're using them for something acute, like an acute cold or sore throat or something like that. But when we're talking about complex chronic illness, like PANS, PANDAS, or and other things as well, long COVID, MCAS, any autoimmune condition, anything that's a complex chronic illness, homeopathy is likely to be helpful for, but we have to have the specific symptoms that the individual is experiencing in order to get to that healing response rather than just a palliative response.
Yeah. I'm going to say something about classical homeopathy. To me, classical homeopathy is so important because coming from the mast cell disease world, I had to do everything very singular. And, I've talked to plenty of moms that were doing like combo homeopathic medicines or being prescribed multiple different remedies at a time. And they're like, well, something was working, but I don't know what was working. Yeah. And so that singular, singular one at a time is so like, I feel like so important, and it actually simplifies things for us as moms. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to say that, it took me a really long time to get to the understanding of why when Avery got sick, I couldn't just throw in another homeopathic remedy. It's like, wait, we have something that can help this. But it really takes that broad understanding of the one single remedy and either switching to an acute that your provider recommends or staying the course with the remedy and not throwing another remedy on top of it is so important because we're addressing the root of everything that's going on, including why the immune system isn't fighting the whatever's going on off appropriately. So classical homeopathy, it can be super frustrating because it takes time. But man, putting the time in is like the end result of that is so beautiful. And so like has kept me from having to go back to acute treatment, like illnesses and all of that stuff over and over again, because Avery's immune system is working so well now.
Yeah. So you touched on something that's a little bit more on the advanced side that we are definitely going to address, which is how we manage our way through healing with homeopathy, managing acutes. And we're going to talk about like this concept of false acutes versus true acutes and all that sort of thing in future episodes. So if Jody like just took you off on a little bunny trail, I'm going to bring you back on for just a little bit to give you a little bit more information about what to expect, like how homeopathy, the healing process of homeopathy works, like the very, very like 30,000 foot overview. And then we'll wrap for today and come back with more details for you about the basics with homeopathy first before we dive into all of those really like more advanced topics and concepts. So healing with homeopathy is not that you're looking for one remedy. And we'll talk about that in a future episode about like the exact of all those questions that really swirl around that, like people wanting to find one right remedy. It's not like homeopathic astrology or, you know, medical astrology. You're not finding like, this is the one thing that you've needed. And if you find this perfect fit, you will always be great forever. We have to look at what's going on in your body now and what's happened throughout your life, as well as what's happening in response to things in your environment, because, you know, we're all affected by things in our environment. And so as we're healing, oftentimes the remedy that is going to help continue the healing process will change. So we're going to be on one remedy at a time, but that remedy can change over time. And the way people need to take it can change as well. Some people will take a daily dose. Some people will need to take an infrequent dose. Most people don't need a daily dose, even if they can take it. It's just easier, especially for PANS, PANDAS families, if it's tolerated well, to take it once a day. Then you don't have to think about it. You don't have to fight with it. You don't have like all these questions. But some kids who are more sensitive need to take it less frequently. And we'll talk about that again in a future episode. So the healing is generally a journey where we see 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back, another 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. And when you see that 1 step back, that you're, it's just telling us that the body's not as sensitive to that nudge. It's not as able to produce that secondary healing response as strongly as it was before. And we just need to make an adjustment. And so once you see that 1 step back, you'll either make an adjustment to the preparation of the remedy, to the dose that you get, or sometimes that's a good sign that you need a different remedy altogether. We can talk about some specifics about how we really figure those things out in a future episode, but just know that it's generally, it's 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back, another 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. Sometimes it's 8 or 9 steps forward, and sometimes it's 9 or 10 steps back, just depending on what's going on in the environment, something that might've happened to your child. Jodi has talked a little bit about some of the setbacks that she's experienced in her journey. So that is a normal occurrence, and it is not the end of the world. Doesn't mean that something else needs to be added in. It just means that you've got more information and we're ready for the next step in that healing journey. Most people, like I said, don't aggravate. Most people are just going to see improvements with homeopathic medicines, with the symptoms that they're going to experience if they're on the right remedy. But there are thousands of remedies that you can select from. And so it's really important to find that right fit, which is why it's so helpful to work with a professional, and especially to work with a professional who understands the condition that you're treating. And so if you find the right best fit, you're likely to just see improvements. If it's not the best fit, you probably won't see anything different happen. There are some concerns about provings being on the wrong remedy or taking a remedy too frequently, seeing symptoms that you didn't have before. It is possible, but it's rare that we see it with really complex chronic illness, because the body is already so busy with the trying to address and like stay afloat with what they've got going on. It doesn't really have the vitality and the energy to provoke a proving. So provings are done on healthy subjects to make sure it's the clearest information that we can get. All right. The last thing that I think I really want to share today, just in the interest of time, because I'm going way longer than I planned on, because I could just talk about homeopathy forever. Like seriously, this is, it's hard to keep it short. So I apologize. When you're talking about working with a classically trained homeopath, it is really helpful to work with somebody who understands everything that's going on in the complete picture, because we're selecting for symptoms that are similar to what you've experienced, and the most beneficial symptoms are the ones that are unique to you. So not just common, we need to cover and make sure that the medicine that's selected can treat all of the things that are common in the condition, but we more specifically need to treat the things that are unique to the individual who's experiencing it. Because, you know, if we had 10 kids here in my office who all had PANS, they'd have 10 different pictures. Like some would be really like the more rage filled kids. Some would be the kids who have more of the OCD. Some would be the more anxious kids. Some would be the more depressed kids. And even the kids who have rage would have different ways that they experience it. You know, some would turn white and get really cold with rage, and they would want to throw things. And some kids would be violent and destructive, and they would want to tear things, and would turn bright red and get sweaty. You know, so like the unique ways that somebody experiences things is what's going to give you that indication for what is the best fit of over, you know, hundreds to thousands of homeopathic remedies that are available to us. And so working with somebody who is really familiar with the condition that you're wanting to help with is beneficial, because then they know what is common and what is unique to you. And these are things that sometimes you have to learn over time. Like there are things that I initially thought when I was first working with PANS, PANDAS, kiddos, were important and unique, that were not at all. And I learned like to ignore them and like not really worry about it anymore, because most kids have those. Like the more experience I have, the more I learned that, and the better I got at getting to remedies faster for people. The other thing that is really helpful, especially in complex chronic illness like PANS and PANDAS, but other things as well, is if you've got lots and lots of medical history and you're currently using medications or supplements, it's really helpful to work with somebody who understands those too, because the medications and supplements are causing forceful changes in your body that your body is having a reaction to. We call them side effects, right? And so when they're having side effects to the medications, supplements, herbs, even if they're mild, it's still information that our body is telling us about how our body is responding to things that can be useful for selecting homeopathic medicines. But it's also important for us to be able to figure out, is this medicine doing this? Is this supplement doing this? Is this remedy doing this? What is doing what? And having a really solid understanding of the totality of what you're experiencing and the condition itself is going to get you really the best results using classical homeopathy, because it's not just about knowing the remedies and hearing what you say. It's about knowing the remedies, hearing what you say, teasing out what's important, separating it out from what's not, knowing what's happening because of your body, knowing what's happening because of your body in response to a medication, what's going to go away as soon as you change this medication or change the supplement, and helping also to really understand which things should be changed where. Because most people want to get off of all of medications and supplements that they are on. Okay. So that's really the main thing that I wanted to wrap with today, was helping people understand the nuances of who to work with and why, when you're dealing with something really like complex and chronic, that it's beneficial to work with somebody with really particular expertise. I'm a really good homeopath when it comes to PANS PANDAS. I'm really good at that. I am not somebody that you want to see for irritable bowel syndrome or for Crohn's disease, or because I don't have a lot of expertise with that. Doesn't mean I couldn't be successful, but it's probably going to take me a lot more work to figure it out, because I don't know, I'm not as intimately familiar with like what the patterns of healing tend to look like. That's another aspect of it too. With having familiarity with the condition, then somebody will know what the patterns of healing tend to be and know when to wait versus when to make a change. I can't tell you how many people we have seen that have been on a good homeopathic remedy, but it just wasn't, they didn't wait long enough to allow the body to do what it needed to do. And we just had to hold mom's hand to wait a little bit longer to allow the body to have the appropriate healing response. So I'm going to stop myself, because I really could just go on forever and wait until our next episode to talk a little bit more about other aspects of homeopathy. Is there anything you think that I missed about the basics of like, what is classical homeopathy, that would be really important for our listeners to hear?
No, I think that you covered it really well.
Okay. Well, if you disagree as you're listening to this and watching this, please feel free to let us know. There are lots of ways that you can connect with us that we'll have in the show notes. And as always, we invite you to join our Facebook group so you can connect with us and ask your personal questions more directly to us. In the next episode, we're going to talk to you about how a remedy is selected. So we hope that you guys will join us then. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care, and remember, this won't be forever.